So think about this. He's done everything he could to teach his disciples everything they needed to know for when he would be gone. And so they get to be with him in this most intimate moment between him and God as he prays to his Father. And he prays an interesting prayer because he prays for God to glorify God's Son. And I thought about that, and I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because when we think about what it means to be glorified, or people who are glorified, or who do we glorify, think about some of the sports stars that we have glorified over all the years and found their feet were made of clay. Think about the movie stars that we glorify, or maybe people in political arenas, or the music arena, or the movie arena, or the stage arena. We have a lot of good fun glorifying people. And we put them in beautiful homes, and they appear like kings and queens. But here, something different is happening. Because as he asks God to glorify God's Son, he's asking just before he's betrayed, just before he's denied, just before he's hung on a cross. So his throne here on earth, where people normally glorify people, is a cross. His crown, which we normally crown people with for all their accolades and things they've done, is a crown of thorns. He gives God glory by following God's, by being obedient to God and following where God leads him. God leads him to the cross. And then he says this. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. What did that look like? Can you imagine what that might have looked like? God and Christ before the world existed? That when God spoke and God's word created the world we know, the universe we know, Christ was glorified by that word, the word made flesh. That all of creation is what gives God glory. And since God spoke it into existence, and Christ is word made flesh, that spoken word brought God glory. But then he tries to help us understand what it means to be known and to know. We've been talking about that for a couple weeks. That I have made your name known to those you gave me from the world. So then he talks to us about eternity. What does it mean to have eternal life? And he says this about eternal life. If I can find it, he says this about it. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life, the knowing and the being known. It is not when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful day that will be. As soon as we come into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are in a place of eternal life. Eternity has started with our yes. And to be made known to God and God made known to us brings us to that place. But in the end of his prayer, he says, as he is going away to the Father and leaving us behind, he wants God to protect us in Jesus' name, that we may be one as they, Christ and God, the Father, are one. The prayer is for unity of the body of Christ. Not something we have today, for sure. But it called me to mind that song that we often sing that I always think has a Native American beat to it. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. They will know we are Christians by our love. by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. So what is it that brings unity to the body of Christ? It is that unconditional love that we have because we know God, who is love. We know Christ, who lived a life of love and gave his life that we might have eternal life now in that loving relationship, that we are all one in the body that is love. But that's not the case today, is it, brothers and sisters? Today, it seems Christians are more divided over what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a body of Christ, what it means to be a church. And we spend more time arguing these things, not only with one another, but even with authorities that are of this world, the principalities and powers of the world. Christ came that the world might be saved. And the only way the world can be saved is through love. And the only way the world can know God and Christ and the love that is in that relationship is through those of us who have been left behind, who are living an eternal life of love. So my question for us this morning is, how are we living out that life of love? How are we using our words to bring healing and hope? How are we using our actions to include those who feel excluded? There is no one on earth that God doesn't love. The song says that unity may one day be restored. Well, when do we know, or when do you know that there was ever unity in the world? The only time I know was a time when Adam and Eve walked and talked in the garden with God. They were one in spirit, one in truth, one in love. There was unity in that space. And then we as humans, Adam and Eve as humans, broke that unity. And it has been a struggle for God to bring us back into the fold. So spend this time when things aren't quite what they used to be and may never be the same, when things are sort of lifted, maybe lifted, who knows. But it's still God's time. Right now is God's time. Tomorrow is God's time. Yesterday was God's time. Be present to God who knows you and allow God to speak through you the words you need to speak so that we can be instruments for God's saving grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.